You're listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast, where we talk to the individuals that help move our party forward. I'm your host, Executive Director Chris Spengel. You can hear all of our podcasts at podcast.lpin.org, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Financial support for this podcast comes from the 1994 Society. The 1994 Society is made up of grassroots libertarians like yourself that donate monthly to the Libertarian Party of Indiana. To join, please go to lpin.org/join. We thank you for your continued support. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Chris Spengel, and joining me this week is potential gubernatorial nominee, Rupert Bonham. Rupert, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good.
Rupert, how are you enjoying running for office so far? You come from the nonprofit world. How is it on this side of the fence?
It's a little different than I thought, because I thought I would be able to do our campaign for a few hundred thousand dollars, and I'm seeing that, you know, we might be doing it for even less.
Yeah. Welcome to the Libertarian Party, Rupert.
Going out and being able to be me. Talking about what I've been talking about for 20 years, but now people see it in a little more of a political light. Talking about the hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings that we've been generating year after year in the detention center, in the correctional facilities, in the reentry program, with the parks and the Parks and Recreation Department. Here in a couple weeks, we're starting with code enforcement and creating a new program with that. I get to run around the state and show how, if and when I become governor, all of these things that I've had in practice for 20 years, all of these things that have been working on a little smaller scale in Indianapolis, our biggest city in Indiana, but still, you know, not as big as the state, but the same problems in every city in Indiana. We have to deal with the people coming out of the detention centers. We have to deal with the unemployment population. We have to deal with the educational problems and the kids coming out of school, dropping out of school, leaving school, leaving the state because there's no opportunities for them. All the things that I have been talking about for 20 years... Now I get to run around this state and show this is what we're going to do for Indiana, and they will work. Here's your examples.
You announced in October, and since then, what has been the response? I mean, has it been mostly positive? Have you gotten a lot of the, oh, well, he's just a reality star reaction?
Yeah.
I mean, how has the reaction been from the Libertarian Party and the general public?
Of course, at first, everybody out there thought, oh, Rupert's just making a reality show. We're going to see, you know, Rupert running for governor coming out on TV. I made darn sure that everyone understood I am 100% committed to running and becoming our next governor. I am not doing this to further my career. I am doing this to empower Indiana to do what I've been doing for 20 plus years in Indianapolis. I want to do for the state of Indiana.
When did you find out that you were a libertarian, the small L version? I mean, what was the moment that you realized that you believed in the libertarian philosophy?
Just a few years ago, I was one that believed Barack Obama. I believed his words, which were just words. I have bounced between the Democrats and the Republicans all of my life, never being happy with either side. A couple years ago, 2009, after I realized what was happening once we elected President Obama, and instead of all of us going back to work, instead of all of us going out there and watching a president lead by example, we watched the president try and give the world away. I started looking for alternatives. I found the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian philosophy, and I thought they were talking about me. When they started talking about more freedoms on your personal and economic side, more freedoms in your world, backing the government off and creating a situation where instead of people trying to control your actions, they let the market control what the actions are.
Was there a situation or situations that made you decide to become active in politics, or maybe just to officially declare yourself as a libertarian? What are some of the things that led you to become more political?
I remember when my wife and I were on the internet and we were looking at the Libertarian Party. I remember the exact day because there are very few times that I actually am getting on the internet.
I'm not on Facebook much, are you?
No. You know, I do see everything that comes in. I read everything that comes in and I answer everything that comes in, but it's somebody else typing it. I've got so many other things going on. But I will always remember that day that Laura and I were looking at the Libertarian site. And, you know, when I realized that the site is talking about the entitlement programs that are going to bankrupt us and how we need to get the government out of our charities and out of our business and out of our pocket. That was the day. That was the day that my wife and I looked at each other and said, we've been libertarians all our life. We just did not realize it. Few of my friends, then I started talking about it and I realized some of my friends were actually libertarian and in the Libertarian Party, actually went the step further and signed up and became a member.
So why governor? I mean, why go for the top spot in Indiana in your first shot?
You know, I have to say that for 20 years, I've been an employer here in town. I've been running small businesses. I've been running the for-profit and non-profit businesses. After Survivor, the government came in and falsely accused me of not paying sales tax, hundreds of thousands of dollars of sales tax without due process. Came in and cleared the little $10,000, $11,000 that I had in my one for-profit, RFB Enterprises.
And you run a trucking company, so you don't really sell much, do you? It's a service company, right?
Exactly right. We do some sports TV. We do not sell anything. We never have sold. And for the Indiana Department of Revenue to accuse me of owing $228,000 in sales tax, that would have had to have been millions of dollars in sales. Well, they're clearing out $11,000 in my accounts. And I ask them, where is the millions of dollars that you're saying that I have in sales? How come you're not worried about that? What is going on? Why don't I have any say in what is going on in my world? Why are you judge, jury, and executioner? And I have to take it. It took 6 months of me battling with my lawyers to get half of what they took from me back. And the lawyer's bill was you know, as much as what they gave back.
Right.
My lawyers felt so bad that they cut their bill in half so I could at least get a few thousand dollars back in my pocket.
Wow.
You know, having those roadblocks, if I didn't have other companies, other ways of generating more income, that would have bankrupted us, that would have put Rupert's Kids out of business, that would have put my trucking company, my entertainment company out of business, that would have ended our world. Watching things like that happen to me and others, you know, we were just talking to another person where the same thing is happening.
I have a family member who had the same exact experience about 2 years ago.
And you have no voice. You have no recourse. When they gave me back, half of what they took with a letter saying, all matters are closed, clerical error. No apology, no nothing, just done. We had that thought for a moment. Do we sue? But of course not. We stand up and we always take the high road. We want to model what we expect out of everyone. We want to follow the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's one big reason why I am running for governor. I want to make sure that our government in Indiana follows that rule for themselves and for everyone else.
So was that the impetus, or were there other things that maybe you saw that maybe the governor's race is the best avenue to be a voice for some of those issues?
Exactly. That was just one side, the small businesses. And being that business owner, being that person that understands the economy has to encourage people to go to work. And if you can't go to work, start your own business and start becoming that employer. Mm-hmm. In the correctional facilities, in the detention centers, in the reentry programs, in the millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars we spend locking up our problems, in the 30-plus prisons we have scattered through Indiana, and at a rate of approximately $50,000 a year to lock someone up.
Wow.
I deal with the results of that. I deal with the 22-year-old, 24-year-old career criminal. I deal with the result of hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to beat our men and women into submission, beat them into...
Well, not physically, right?
Not physically.
Let's clarify that real quick.
By housing them, by creating a correctional facility that has lost its way, mm-hmm. that does not do what we should anymore with the training and re-education and rehabilitation of prisoners. Our criminal system was set up so that if you did wrong, you were punished, you served your sentence, you served your debt to society, and then you were released to go back into the world the same as when you went in, with the same rights and same abilities as when you went in, because you served your sentence, you paid your debt.
And it seems like today we have more of a cyclical thing where you go in, you come out, you have a scarlet letter, and you have trouble getting employment, you have trouble getting proper education, you have trouble restarting life, and so it becomes sort of a cyclical thing, and it even becomes generational.
Oh, 100%. Instead of the A, you have a C for that big criminal. And now I make it legal for an apartment complex to discriminate against you because you are a criminal. They do not have to rent to you anymore. The fair housing is out the door. Anyone can discriminate against you now because you are a criminal for the rest of your life for something you might have done when you're 20 years old. Seeing that our violent and nonviolent offenders are housed in the same environment, when somebody that is hurting themselves is put in a jail cell with a rapist, a murderer, a smash and grabber, an abuser, what do you think is going to happen? Of course that person is going to become violent. When you are in that situation, you have to defend yourself. When we create violent criminals, when we take the ability for someone to go out and make a legal living away, when we arrest you for hurting yourself and put you in jail instead of putting you into alcohol or drug treatment, instead of giving you the ability to maybe learn a new skill, go out and go to work in a new field, when we take that all away, we are ensuring that that person is staying in our pocket for the rest of their life.
You make the decision to run for governor, and you contact the Libertarian Party. Can you talk a little bit about the beginning of your time in the Libertarian Party? Actually, from my side, just for the historical record, I got a call from Mark Rutherford, who is the national vice chairman currently and lives here in Indianapolis, former state chair, and he said that Rupert from Survivor wants to run for governor. And I think, like most people, I went, okay, right. Because I honestly didn't know who you were. I didn't watch Survivor. I didn't know anything about you. But I never turned down a meeting because you never know what's going to take place when you sit down with somebody. And, you know, we were really impressed, both Mark and I, with your program, with your small business background, with your depth of knowledge. And honestly, the fact that you were trying to sell yourself to the party. You know, we kind of expected that we'd go up there to talk to somebody who is a celebrity, who's well known, and that they would give us the old, well, you know, I could do so much for you. Don't you know who I am? And that humbleness, I think, kind of spoke volumes. And that was something that impressed us right off the bat. What were some of your first impressions with the party? What were some of the thoughts that you had at the beginning of this?
All the way back to that day when my wife and I were on the computer looking at the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian philosophy, and then started thinking about, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to be one of those policymakers. Which one should I be? Then we started thinking, well, you know, it's the gubernatorial race this year coming up. And, you know, and this was back in 2010. So the next big election was going to be the governor's election. That was the position that I saw really would make the biggest impact in my world, in my family's world, in my mentoring program's world, in my fellow Hoosiers world, being able to stand up like we have taught for 20 years, how you empower yourself not in a selfish way, but in a positive way, and then share that with others. I thought, oh my gosh, I can take our philosophies and put Indiana in there and say, Indiana is going to stand up and empower Indiana before we ever worry about anyone else outside our state. When I started looking at the candidates on the Democrats and the Republican side and saw this the ability to go up against them, and I did some checking into their background and saw who they were and what they stood for, there was no way I couldn't run for governor. When I called the Libertarian Party and I got a hold of you and I asked you guys to come out, well, actually, Mark, I remember I wanted to show you who I was. I wanted you guys to say, we'll take you. There was no way I thought they're going to walk in here and say, oh, we love you, we'll take you right off the bat. There's, like I say, I lead by example. And anyone that has that attitude that thinks they don't have to explain who they are, they don't have to follow the rules, they don't have to go through the channels, they don't, that's not the right person. That's not the right attitude. I like being Popeye. I am who I am. I have been me for 48 years. Hopefully I get to be me another 48 years.
Right.
When I had you guys in our office and I started talking about our mentoring program and showing you guys 20 years of history and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in savings, you know, a $200,000 budget a year and a savings of, in the short term, maybe only $200,000 or $300,000. In the long term, maybe $5, $10, $20 million just by the empowerment of these 10, 15, 20 kids, keeping them out of our pocket for the rest of their lives, being able to show the entrepreneurial side of me and the business person that has being the utility with Wide World of Sports to now running a company that deals with and is a vendor for Wide World of Sports and ESPN and IMS and those million-dollar trucks out there running around.
Do you think that the fame hurts or helps in the campaign? I think when you're well-known, you go in with some baggage. Ultimately, do you see it helping the campaign, or has it hurt the campaign?
You know, if I was just Rupert Bonham, the vocational mentor, people would look at me and say, oh my gosh, look at that hairy, scary bum. You know, no. Survivor, of course, helps me. Having the history helps me. Being able to show that, you know, Survivor, CBS put $1 million in my hand, and we didn't just put it in our pocket. We shared it with our community.
What did you do with the money?
You know, the first check was $487,000 to the state and federal government for taxes, for income tax. $487,000 in two checks. Those were the biggest checks still to date that I have ever written in my life.
What's that and, feel like, writing,
you know,
that check?
You know, it would have felt better if the government would have actually asked me how they should spend the money. you know, I like to think that they spent it on something that I wanted instead of maybe, you know, buying half a bomb or something.
Right.
But, you know, the government got theirs. They took half. We got my daughter's college fund, got her taken care of so she will be set. Got my mom out of debt, got her taken care of, got our family paid off, and moved out of the inner city and into a nice house, you know, in the neighborhood that my wife grew up here in Indianapolis when they lived on the family farm just outside of North Central, just next door to North Central, and then had $277,000 left over. And literally, it was left over. We knew we didn't need it. We had everything that we had ever wanted to do done. We picked the kids, the animals, and the elderly, and we helped. We gave $100,000 back to Choices and the Dawn Project, who had hired me for 7 years as a mentor in their program, and I always felt bad because I was taking their money that they were getting from the federal government. We gave to a couple of the different, the local Humane Society and a couple of the different local animal rescues. We gave to my daughter, you know, picked a couple of the animal shelters, and my wife picked some of the elderly give back programs. Mm-hmm. And we shared. We gave to ourselves what we needed, gave to ourselves in a positive way, got ourselves back to zero, which is everyone's dream. And then shared the rest of it with our community. We empowered our community to make our lives better, to help us, to help, you know, our fellow Hoosiers. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And then the next day, we went back to work.
Right. You referenced the beard and the hair, and I think through the first 6 months of your announcement on, even from the very beginning, the thing that I've heard the most is, man, if he's going to be governor, he's going to have to trim that beard, and he's going to have to maybe shave. He's going to have to look like a politician.
Oh, yes.
Are you going to shave clean-shaven? Are you going to get a nice crew cut?
Chris, in my world, I consider myself clean-shaven now. If you look over the last year, especially the last six, 8 months, when I announced my beard had already started shortening up. In my birthday, when we had a big fundraiser for turning 48, my beard had gotten to the point where you could actually almost see all my neck. Now my beard is down to the point where you can use that little gauge on the, you know, which I never thought I would use the gauge. I put the little 5 or 6 on the thing and shave my beard. And I actually am using a razor now on my face. For me, that's shaving. You know, if you're going to look at the outside, then so be it. You're going to get surface. You're going to get, you know, what you see. That's why I tell people, look at who we are. Look at all of the candidates. Look at the last 20 years. Look at what we've done here in the communities. Look at what we've given back to not just ourselves, but to our fellow Hoosiers. Who is the one out there helping the most? I like being that person that says, you know, 100 years ago, we valued in a community, the richest person out there was the one that helped the most, not that had the most. If you're going to look at my exterior, you might not always like what you see. Hopefully, you will look inside a little bit and you will see. My cover is just a cover. I have worked in the detention center so darn long that I guess I ended up looking like that. But now I do have some very nice suits. I do have some very nice clothes.
Yeah, how do you balance the tie-dye with the with the political look? I mean,
oh yes. Oh, my wife even has made a few tie-dye ties. You know, it's amazing how hard it is to tie-dye something very narrow and make it not look rainbow.
Well, I think, you know, it is
not that I have anything against rainbow.
Right. Let's get that disclaimer in there. You're running for office now, aren't you? Jeez.
Oh, yes.
I think, yeah, you have to balance the brand. You have to have, you know, I remember you saying to me recently that the worst appearance that you've done since you've been running for office is when you wore a polo shirt and you had no tie-dye on. And people expect that. And you walk down the street with you and you see it takes you an hour and a half to go to Arby's a block right away and get back because people recognize you. And if you shaved off the beard and trimmed the hair down to my
yes,
height, which is short, people are just not going to see it.
I like being me.
Right.
And like I told my family, my daughter, who I want to stand up and be a role model for, my kids in my mentoring program, you know, adults in my mentoring program, I want to be a role model for myself, my community. I like who I am. I'm comfortable with who I am. I like showing that just because somebody looks a little different doesn't mean anything other than they look a little different.
Well, most people look a little different. So
you're darn right.
We're in the middle of convention season. We're recording this on March 15th. Happy Ides of March, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Stay away from your campaign manager. and we've been traveling. We've spent a lot of time together for really the first time since the initial discussions. Traveling around to multiple Libertarian Party counties to their conventions and talking to counties, what are some of the things that you've learned about the Libertarian Party that have surprised you or that you appreciate? Or just what are your impressions of the Libertarian Party now that you've really gotten to immerse yourself in it, especially over the last month?
Well, you know, 2010, we talked about becoming running in the party. In 2011, I helped a few candidates campaign. But it didn't really get as involved as I have this last few months. And meeting the libertarians and seeing where, for years, like so many people out there, think that the libertarians are just those anarchists or just those, you know, zero government or zero involvement. It's amazing how rational, understanding, normal so many of us are libertarians. We are not the radicals that people think of as a libertarian. We are very rational people that see common sense solutions for some pretty big problems.
Former state chair, and maybe on your ticket, he's thinking of running for superintendent of public instruction, Joe Houtman. Mm-hmm. He talks about the Libertarian Party now being the moderate middle, that we're not the ones talking about moon bases and talking about birth control. We're talking about, I don't know, saving the country.
Right. We're not creating a war on women. We're not trying to give the world away by, you know, keeping everybody in as an indentured servant in the entitlement programs. We are more of that middle of the road where the libertarian philosophy, I would bet 50, 60, 70% of the population hits in that philosophy. Mm-hmm. When I first started out campaigning and saying, you know, I used to be that guy that bounced between the Democrats and the Republicans, and I'm taking a little bit from both and bringing it to the middle, I saw a few libertarians cringe because they didn't like hearing that. But that is true. So many of us are disgusted with the Democrats and the Republicans because they have lost their way. They do not see common sense as an option anymore. They do not see compromise as an option. It's a dirty word now. Compromise is weakness to both sides instead of how it should be the strength of bonding together. And the libertarian philosophy is we stand up together as a whole because we don't have the government telling us what to do. We use our own values.
What do you think the Libertarian Party of Indiana looks like in late November of this year?
You know, I wish I had that crystal ball and would see my wife and daughter and I standing up taking the oath. I wish I had that crystal ball to see what the mood and the climate is like in the Libertarian Party. I wish I had that ability to see what is going to happen in November. What I'm hoping for is that we bring millions of people to the Libertarian Party's philosophy. Millions of Hoosiers seeing that there is a third choice. There is another alternative to the Democrats and the Republicans who are turning into pretty much the same darn thing. You know, we're watching the primaries happen right now where the Republicans, the GOP, are just ripping themselves apart. It creates an environment that you don't have to really even talk about the issues. You talk to the libertarians, they're all about the issues. I want to see in November millions of people standing up saying, I'm voting for Rupert because I am libertarian, because he is standing up for all of us, because we need to bring everybody back to a more common sense approach.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast this week, Rupert.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It was great.
All right. Thanks. Good luck. Thank you for listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast. For more information, please visit us at lpin.org. Our music has been provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. To hear more of his music, please visit briankeithwallen.com or find him on Facebook. Thank you for listening.
When you got November on your mind.